Tayshin the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Dalit. We're learning today the Ilui Nishmas Jack Freeling, Yaakov Ben Yitzchak. That's Abe Reichik's father-in-law, father of Gloria Reichik. All the shalos we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn, of course, for the safety and success of Tzahal, bringing back the Chatufim Bimheira. All those in need of a refuah shlema should have one Bimheira, and there should be shalom in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up at the two dots about 10 lines down from the top of Ayin Dalit Omid Aleph. We continue to quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hayahu Tchilo Lakotrim. If a person was the first of the people that had brought in their harvest, there hasn't yet been a shah, there hasn't yet been a set price, so can you go into a forward contract with such first produce that are brought about? In other words, Reuven has this produce. He sells it to Shimon. He gives it to Shimon right now. Shimon will pay him at a later point in time. There is no Shai right now, but there is Yeshlo. He does have the produce. So the Mishnah said, since it's Yeshlo, this is allowed. Now, we discuss this further. Omar Rav. Rav tells us, it depends. It cannot be lacking so many things in the processing. Mechuser shtayim posik. If it's only lacking two things in the preparatory process of this product, so it's early in the season, in the harvest season, but it's only lacking two items, so then you can make such a forward contract. Mechuser shtayim, it's only lacking two things, posik, you can do so. However, if it's lacking more than two things to finish it off as a product, shalosh ain't no posek, then it's too much and you can't do this poskin on this type of early harvest. We'll see in a moment what we mean is an example of two or three or four things. Shmuel disagrees. So Shmuel Amar, he says, no. If these things are dependent upon a person, in other words, you have total control for doing it, be they adam, even if it's more than two things, it can be three, four, five, 100 things even, afilu meya, even if there's 100 things to do, but they're all up to you. You control it. So then, posek, this psika, this having this forward contract is allowed, even though it's not a finished product, even though it's missing quite a number of steps. Shmuel says, as long as all the steps are in the control of man, then you can do this psika. However, bidei shamayim, if some of the steps require God's involvement, and we'll give examples of this in a moment. Let's say you need the sun, you need the wind in order to go and finish off the processing. So then, afilu achas ein oposek. Then even if one step is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, so then you're not allowed to go and do this forward contract because there's no guarantees that you really will be able to finish it. Only if it's totally within your control, the Shmuel, so you can finish it. And again, Rav doesn't make a distinction between bidei adam, bidei shamayim. Rav says it's the number of things that are missing. If it's two or less, then you can do this forward contract. But if it's not, then you can't. Well, we now bring down a number of scenarios, a number of cases from our Mishnah that seem to contradict both the opinion of Rav and at times the opinion of Shmuel, sometimes both. Now, we start off, we learned in our Mishnah, it said, Tznan, posek imo ala godish, that a person can make this forward contract. If he's the first person to have a pile of grain, he can go make this forward contract on this pile of grain. Ida Gemara says it's missing at least three steps, so this should be a kasha on Rav. And if some of these steps involve, not in this situation, they involve really the sun, so then they involve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then this would also be a question on Shmuel. But the first one is really just a question on Rav. V'am mechusar, it is lacking, when you just have this pile over here, it's lacking mechusar mishta b'chama. You have to put it out into the sun. Rashi says shatoa ha'omrim b'chama. You have to lay out the stalks of wheat in the sun. And the purpose of that is lemei vash, in order they should become dried out. So that's step number one. Ulemei dash, it requires dash still. It requires the threshing of the item in order to go and make it into smaller pieces of grain. Umidra, and it also requires then for it to be winnowed. In other words, Rashi says, Lizro kamotz li'achara disha birachas biruach. So you have to take a pitchfork and throw it up into the air. Now we'll see, this is also going to be a question on Shmuel as well, which we'll get to in a moment. But right now we're first asking on Rav. So the Gemara says, this is three things. How can Rav allow this to do be posek imo al hagadish if it requires three steps? And Rav had said it requires a maximum of two steps in order to be able to do this pasika. So the Gemara says, no, because kigom disha de bechama v'yavash was already done. So therefore, he is making this posek al hagadish on the stalks of grain, this pile that has already been dried out in the sun. So you only have two things left. You have the dosh and the winnowing. So therefore, there's only two steps left, the threshing and the winnowing. Gemara says, okay, that's great for Rab. What about Shmuel? Well, Shmuel, who said, who says that if there's even one thing that requires HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, bidei shamayim, and it's not in your control, so then it's no good. Well, here, midra, we said that the winnowing that's done, you have to throw it up in the air in a pitchfork, and the wind will then go separate the lighter pieces from the heavier pieces, and that is an essential step in the process. So there is a mechusa midra dibidei shamayim. So how did Shmuel say that this is acceptable? So Gemara says, no, because you could winnow it without the wind. Efshar binaf vosa. Naf vosa, Rashi tells us, is some sort of a bellows. This is a foreign language term for this, but you could use some sort of a bellows, and as a result, you could winnow it without the wind. So therefore, it is bidei odom. Okay, then we go to the next part of the Mishnah. It said, Val ha ovit shel anovim. If the person has an early harvest of grapes, we said ovit was the term that's used for grapes, to put them in certain vats or crates that the grapes would be in, and you could do the poskin, al ha ovit shel anovim, even though it's not a finished product. So the Gemara questions this. According to Rav, there are four processes that are left over here. Rav said you can have the maximum of two. So here, v'ha mechusar michmor. Rashi explains michmor is huchmam. It has to go and be heated up. In other words, it has to ripen further in this ovit. That's number one. Vayule lebe matzarta. You have to go bring it to the press, the wine press. That's number two. Lemei dosh. Then you have to do dosh over there, which means in this situation, you have to go and trample on the grapes and break them open. And then ulemingod, you also need, Rashi says, limsho chayayin el habor shufnei hagas. You then have to go and draw the wine from the press into the pit that's in front of the press. So this is four steps over here. How could Rav say that this is acceptable? So the Gemara answers, we're going to give an answer in a moment about the olives in the same way. We'll ask the question about the olives. So we'll give that same answer that Rav Chia gives over there. Kedutoni Rav Chia, in regards to the olives, which we'll have in a moment, ala komer shel zaisim, that we'll see over there that Rav Chia says that we're dealing already with the olives that were already ripened. So therefore, in our situation as well, we're dealing already here with hochanami ala komer shel anovim, that's already ripened. So the first step is already done. So the verse is the obvious question. Okay, great. So it's not four steps that are lacking. It's three steps that are lacking. So that still is a problem according to Rav. So the verse says, we're dealing here, Biasra, we're dealing with a place, Dahau, the Zovin, the one who purchases, who dinogid. He's the one that does the removing the wine from the press into the pit in the front. So that step is done by the purchaser. So therefore, there are really only two steps over here, the actual bringing the wine to the press and the actual dosh of the wine in the press. So that's two steps. Therefore, you're allowed to be poskin ala ovit shel anovit. New, the same question will now be asked. It said, Valhamaiton Shozesim, when you have the olives in this olive container, this vat of olives, so it said the word maton was specific for olives. So again, there are four steps over here too. Valmuchusu Michmar, it needs the ripening, that first step, the heating it up. Vayula lebe dape, it then has to be brought to the olive press. It has that meidosh to be dosh, to have the olives split open, ulemingan, and then to take the olive juice from the press and bring it to the bar that's in the front. And again, that's four steps. So kasha on Rav. So the Gemara says, again, here's where Rav Chia gave his answer. Tony Rav Chia, al kol mishal zeis. We're dealing over here where they already ripened. So the mechusar michmar, the ripening step was already done. So it's not lacking that. The Gemara says, again, there's three steps that are remaining. So ha ikot laws, that doesn't help us. Again, the same terrors we gave by the wine. Asra, in this place, the Zovin, the one who purchases it, Hahu Mangit, he's the one that takes the oil from the press and brings it to the bar in the front. Therefore, there's only two steps that are lacking prior to the purchase, and therefore it's not a kasha on Rav. Then we said in the Mishnah of Al HaBeitzim, that's the way we pronounce it. There are those that pronounce it Beitzim. In any event, Al HaBeitzim Shel Yotzer. You have the potter who has to go and take first the clay and fashion it into the utensils. So these are called the clay balls that the potter has. So how are you allowed to go and do this? It's missing five steps, am I? V'ha mechusa, number one, lefufe. Rashi explains that lefufe means, similar to melafafin es havlad, it means that you have to go and straighten out the vlad, so too you have to here make and straighten out these balls of clay according to their size. Lefimi doso, im gdolus im katanos. It's going to be a large utensil, a small utensil. Vosa lehen base kill. And then you have to go and make the receptacle area in the middle. So that's the first part. Via bouche, and you have to go and dry it out. That second one, ayule la tuna, you have to go bring it into the fire. That's number three. Lemisraf is number four. Ulemefak, and to take it out, that's number five. So there are five steps over here. How could Rav allow this? So the Gemara says, again, some of the steps were done either previously or will be done by someone else. So kigon dimalafafor vivishu, the first two steps over here, the actual making the balls into these appropriately sized receptacle types of earthen wear clay without yet having it fired up and drying it out. So those first two steps, that was already done. So we're only selling it with three steps remaining. Again, the more asked for eco class, but it's still a problem. There's three. And we have the same terrace that we gave before by the grapes and by the olives. We're dealing with a place, Biasra, the Haudus oven, the one who purchases these things, he's the one who, the Mefik, he takes it out of the fire. So therefore, the last step, which is Ula Mefak, that's done by the purchaser. So there's only two steps lacking over here, the actual putting it into the fire and the actual firing it up. So therefore, those two steps, Rav allows, therefore, to be poskin al habetzin shel yotzer. So the Gemara now quotes the last part of this Mishnah, which is said, Valasid, that was the fourth item, the lime, shemi shakenu bekivshon. When you make the lime in the fire, in the kivshon, in the furnace, so then that is also something, even though he's the early one, it's not yet a shah, but it's considered shalom. And again, we ask the same question. It's missing various steps. V'amuchusor mikla, it's missing the step of firing it up. It's missing va'afuke, taking it out of the furnace, and umeidak. Rashi explains umeidak means la'achashinis, so if you burnt it and take it out of the fire, it still needs harenechatichos srufos. It's just like pieces of lime over here that then umotzino somin akivshon. When you take it out of the fire, v'nostin behen ma'at maim, you add a little bit of water to it, v'tsovrin osamin, it lumps them together, v'nidochos me'elein, and then it will crumble on its own, kikamach tochon, like finely ground grain. And that's the third step. So the obvious question is, Rav, you say only two steps. How can you sell this for three steps? So again, we give the similar terrace to what we gave already. Be'asu, we're dealing with the place, the Haudus Oven, the one who purchases it, he's the one, Haud Doyik. He's the one that goes and does the last step, this crumbling. So there's only two steps, the actual burning it and taking it out of the furnace. So those are done by the person who owns it. And the third step is done by the person who purchases it. And therefore, it's not a problem according to Rav. I, Ulu Shmuel, the Omer Bidei Adam, Afilu Meya Posek. According to Shmuel, if these things are Bidei Adam, he doesn't have a limited two, he can do even 100. So then, Lo Moli Mishashkenu Bakivshon. So why does he require that the person have already put it into the Kivshon in order for this to go and be able to be done? After all, that's a fourth step. So according to Rav, it has to already been in the Kivshon. But according to Shmuel, that's something that's done Bidei Adam. Why did it have to state in the Mishnah that it was already put into the Kivshon? According to Shmuel, it shouldn't need that. It could even be not yet put into the Kivshon. So the Gemara says, Ema, it means Mishiroi Lishako B'Kivshon. Yes, it's prepared enough to the state that it could be put into the fire. Before that, it's not considered Yeshlo. And therefore, the Mishnah, according to Shmuel, would actually have four steps over here. It wouldn't be a problem. Lav Dafka, the crumbling, has to be done by even the person who purchased it. And Lav Dafka, that it has to be put into the fire by the person who owns it. Originally, no, according to Shmuel, all four steps could be done, still need to be done, and not a problem because it's all Bidei Adam. Then we quote again the Mishnah, which said, V'ala Beitzim Shel Yotzer, because we have the following Braisa on this part of the Mishnah. Tan Rabban, we learned in the following Braisa, which deals with a person who's a potter going and forming these balls of clay into the appropriate size and with the appropriate receptacle. But the one difference over here is that this Braisa is talking about when there really is a shar already. And therefore, it's different than the Mishnah, which is talking about Yeshlo. So the Braisa says, Tan Rabban, in Poskin al Beitzim Shel Yotzer, Ad Sheyasu, you're not allowed to go and do this until they are fully formed. These balls of the potter, they're fully formed into the receptacles and the right sizes. Divri Ramei. Ramei says that is necessary in order for you, even if there is a shar, for you to go, be able to go and sell them. Rav Yossi qualifies this. I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, under what circumstance are we talking about? Rashi says, that it has to have this level of formation before you can even sell it when there is a shar. That's talking about the offer lover. That's talking about this much more rare white type of clay. As Rashi says, it's not so common. It's not easily found. And when they would go bring this white earth in, this clay in, and they'd only consider it to be ready, so to say, when they already made it into these appropriate sized and with the receptacle area pottery. So that's when you're allowed to sell it. Avo, but offer shachar. But if you're dealing with the normal, regular dark clay, the black clay, going, for example, that you had from Kfar Chananya, v'chavrosel, from the area of Kfar Chananya and the surrounding area, or Kfar Shichin, v'chavrosel, from the area of Kfar Shichin and its surrounding area, Poskin, then you're allowed to do this if there's a shard, even though the potter doesn't yet have these clay balls, he doesn't have these baits. Afopi she'en lozeh yesh lozeh, because we say once there's a shar, so then even if he doesn't have it, so then you can be posek with him because you could buy it right now from somebody else, and therefore it's not a concern of ribis. Since you could buy it right now and own it, we consider it afopi she'en lozeh yesh lozeh. So this is the machlokis that we have over here between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi's qualification of that. Ameimer Yoav Zuze Miki Ma'ili Afra. Ameimer would go and be posek on this with the potters, even once they had the earth in their possession, even though they didn't yet go and make it into the balls. Now, wait a second. Come on, who does this go like? If he's holding on to Rav Meir said, no, you actually need to have the balls made. Ha'amar actually also has to be fully made. If you're telling me it goes like Rav Yossi, Ikar Rav Yossi, he said for the black type of earth and clay, Hamar Afapi She'en Lazet, Yesh Lazet, you don't have to have it made into the balls. So who did Ameimer go like? It doesn't seem like he's going like Rav Meir. He wasn't machmir enough to go like Rav Meir. And it doesn't seem like he's going Rav Yossi. He was more machmir than Rav Yossi required. So who does Ameimer hold like? So the Gemara says, the Olin Rav Yossi. He in fact holds like Rav Yossi. But here we're dealing with a place where it will be Asrei de Ameimer Oshik Afra. Actually, there wasn't even the black earth there. So the halacha in Ameimer's area was the same for the black earth as it was for the white earth. And therefore, Edom Aile Afra, if he already had the earth, the clay, so then, Samcha Daite, then you could rely upon the fact that he could get it from someone else. And therefore, even though it wasn't yet fashioned into the balls, it would be acceptable. The Yav Luzuzi, because you could give money to the person in this situation and be able to definitely get the product. V'lo, but if not, so then lo sam chadaite. So then they didn't rely upon it, and this would be an inappropriate pesika, and it wouldn't be allowed. Okay, then we quote the next part of the Mishnah. Uposek imo al hazevel koyim osashana. We said in the Mishnah that there were three opinions. We had the Tanakama, we had the opinion of Rav Yossi, and then we had the opinion of the Chachamim, and we had said that the original opinion of the Tanakhama and the opinion of the Chachamim seems to be the same. Because if you remember, we said, the Mishnah said the Tanakhama holds, you're allowed to go and make a forward contract on the Zevel all Yemos Hashana. And we had explained that there is no lack of Zevel, and therefore it's always readily available. Rav Yossi disagreed, and he said, no, unless you actually have the Zevel in your garbage dump, so then you can't go and make a forward contract, because we don't say that it's readily available, because it's not so readily available. Most people keep their Zevel for themselves, and it's not something that you normally sell. So therefore, unless you actually have it in your garbage dump, in your ashpa, so then you can't go and do this forward contract. And then we seem to have a third opinion, which sounds exactly like the Tanakhama. The Chacham say, yes, you can do even if you don't have the Zevel in your garbage dump. So therefore, Chacham Hainu Tanakhama, as I pointed out in the Mishnah, and here's where I got it from, here's the Gemara telling us, the third opinion of the Chacham seems to be exactly the same as the Tanakhama. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav, and we turn to Ayin Dalas, Omud Beis. No, it's not exactly the same. The difference between the Tanakhama and the Chacham, it's like I mentioned when we did the Mishnah, the Mosag Yishamim Ika Benayu. The way that they would go and process their Zevel was they would let it go and get all mushy in the winter season, the rainy season, and then it would dry out in the summertime and it would be usable. So therefore, according to the Tanakhama, he's making, he says, Koyimos Hashana, you can say that it's as if you have Zevel available because it's always out there. Whether it's the rainy season or the summer season, the Zevel is always out there. And therefore, the Tanakhama says you can use this poskin ala Zevel all year long, even though you don't have any ashpa. Now, Rav Yossi disagrees, says, no, you have to have any ashpa. And the Chachamim, the third opinion, say, we sometimes agree with Rav Yossi, and we sometimes agree with the Tanakhama. When it's the Yemos HaGeshamim, so it's not considered that you have it, so you better have it in your Ashba. But in the summer season, in the dry season, it's considered as if you have it, and therefore we agree with the Tanakhama. So the Chachamim is actually a compromise shita between those first two opinions. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah. It said, Uposik Imo Kishara Gavoa. We had said that if a person wants to make sure that if the prices go up, then you have no concern of ribis because you're poskin and it's available either because there's a shar or because yeshlo. So we had said that's agreeable, that's not a problem. But what about if the prices go down? So if the person wants to protect himself, so the Tanakhama said that you have to make a specific mention and saying that if the prices go down, I still want to be able to get it at the price that I'm paying right now. So if I'm paying $100 right now, if the prices go up to $150, we explain why it's not a ribis problem, because either there's a shar or because of the yeshlo. But if the prices go down to $75, he says, I still want to get it for $100. I don't want to get only $75. I gave you $100. I want to get $100. So the Tanakhama says, you have to go and write this into the document, into the sale, or else it doesn't automatically take effect. The shar hagavo, which we said is the best way for the person who is selling it, that he should be able to sell it and get his money fully back at least at a minimum, to get his 100 back that he sold it for. So he has to write it into the shtar, or they have to agree to it. Review the disagreed. Review said it automatically comes in there. It's an understanding that the person isn't going to lose money on this deal, so therefore he's always going to get at least 100. And if he gets 150, that's great. It's not a ribbis problem, as we've explained, yesh shar or yesh lo. And it's not going to be a loss, because if it decreases in price to 75, he still gets 100 automatically. So Gemara says, Maisa Shaya, how gavra the Yov Zuzi, there once was a person who gave money linidunya devei chamua. He gave money to his son-in-law to go and purchase the nidunya for his future wife, for that person's future wife, which is the man's daughter. So therefore, Reuven, who is the father over here, gave money for a nidunya for his daughter who was marrying Shimon. So he gave this money to Shimon to go and purchase the nidunya, to go and purchase all the needs of the house that the wife would have. Now, Lesov, in the end, so let's say Reuven gave Shimon $100. I've been using that as an example. Let's continue that. He gave him $100. Lesov is all nidunya. Now, he was hoping to get, with his $100, that certain value of nidunya. But then the prices went down. For that $100, he's now get $125 worth of nidunya. So what in this situation is going to happen? Lesof zal nidunya, and Reuven, the father, said, I don't want the deal. Now, they'd only given money for the nidunya. They hadn't yet taken the possession of the nidunya. So he was going backing out on the deal. So is this something that you're allowed to do? Is this a mishapara? So they went to the judge. They went to the basin of Rapapa to go and adjudicate the case. Also, Lukami, the Rapapa, and he asked Rapapa, what's the din? Amale, Rapapa said to this father, I pasakti imo kishar hagavoa shokul kehashta. If you in fact went that and said that you're going to get the full best price for this, so you'll get $100 worth as it's worth right now, so then you're entitled to get the shara gavo. You get the value of it right now, which is $125. V low, but if you didn't make such an agreement, so shokul kimekar, then only take the 100 value that you had actually purchased already, even though you didn't take possession of it. In other words, he passed like the Tanakama. He passed like the Chacham. Since if you didn't specify it, then you get whatever the prices are right now. You can't go and say, I want to get at the prices right now. No, you have to go and take the lesser value when you purchased it. So that is how Rapapa paskind. Amli Rabbanu Rapapa, the Rabbanu said to Rapapa, wait a second, v'ilo pasak shokul kimeikara. You're saying that if you didn't specify over here, then you have to take the $100 worth of nidunya that you had originally purchased, and you can't get the $125 that it's worth right now. So Mos Ninu, how does this work? This was a sale, and he only gave him over money, and money doesn't purchase it. Umos lo kanu. So why can't he walk away? So Rapapa said back to the Chacham, Amalu, no, I agree, he can walk away. There was no kinyan over here because money doesn't make an acquisition of metaltali. However, what I was saying was, Ano nami likabuli ale misha para karmina. What I was saying is, if you walk away from this deal, you're then going to get a misha para. We've mentioned already many times in the Masechta, the misha para is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will pay back the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlagu, for the things that they did wrong. He will pay you back for going against your word. You made a deal, even though it's not technically binding, because no kinyan was made, but a person shouldn't go back in the word. Midvar sheker tirchok. Stay away from going against your word. And therefore, you agree to do this, so agree to do it. And if you don't, you chayav this misha para. That's what Rav Papa was saying. I wasn't saying that the deal was automatically going through. What I'm saying is, if you retract on this deal now, you're chayav a misha para. And therefore, I pasak yishara gavoi, if you made a specific specification that you're going to get the value of the goods at that time if they go down, and therefore you're going to get more goods, so you're paying 100 right now. You're expecting to get 100 in value right now, but then the value goes up to 125 that you can get for the $100, so then you want to get the higher value. You said yishara gavoi, then you get it. And then in that situation, the Mishapara will be on the person who's selling it. If he doesn't go through with the deal, he says, no, you agreed for 100 to get 100 value. Well, now it's 125. I'm still only give you 100 value. So in that situation, if they made, in fact, the stipulation that he does get it at the better price, so if the seller doesn't want to go and sell it to him for 125 value, he only wants to give him 100 value, so then he's the one that gets the Mishapara. However, if they didn't make this specification, and therefore the one who gave the money is only entitled to get 100 value right now and not 125 value. So then if he wants to retract now, lokeach kohar debay, so he's the one, mekabel alei, lokeach mishapara. And that is a psak halacha the Rapapa gave over here to this man, the father of the bride, who gave the money to his son-in-law to go and purchase the nidunya. Now, Ravina questions this, and he says, "Omali Ravina Rapapa." Ravina says to Rapapa, "Wait a second. Why are you assuming that this goes in accord with the halacha of the Chachamim that says Mos lo kanu? Remember, we had a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon says that Mos are in fact kona. So umimai, why are you saying the Rabbanan he that this is going in accord with the opinion of the Chachamim? The pligia led the Rabbi Shimon, who Rabbi Shimon argues with." Rabbi Shimon argues with the Chachamim. The Chachamim say the Amre Mos lo kanu. Rabbi Shimon says Mos are kone. Va'afilu hachi. And nevertheless, I pasak kishar gvoa. Then you're arguing that only when they made the stipulation and specifically said that the father-in-law over here gets the higher value of the nedunya only if he specified it. So shaku kedasha. Then he can take the 125. I lo pasak. But he didn't make the stipulation. So then shaku kedmi kar. Then he only gets the 100 value that they originally said. That's how you're arguing it. Maybe argue it this way. Dilma Rabbi Shimoni. Maybe, in fact, everybody holds like Rabbi Shimon, that in fact, Mos are Kone. And now, and when, in fact, they made the stipulation that, yes, you get the 125 right now, Shakil Kihashta, you get it like it is right now, because, in fact, the Mos were Kone, but they were Kone with this stipulation. And Ilo Pasak, if you didn't make such a stipulation, so then Shakul Kamekar. So then, because the money was Kone, Mishum Dukone Lahu Zuze, that's why you only get the 100. Why don't you learn it this way? Let it go in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So, Avol Rabbanan, according to the Chachamim, who say that Mos lo kanu, you know what? Bein pasak, bein lo pasak. In fact, Ravina says that whether, if you hold like the Chachamim, that the Mos are not kona, so whether you made a stipulation or you didn't make a stipulation, shaku kihashta, you get it at the higher value, 125 right now, because the daite, the inish, atarazila. Because when he did this deal, he obviously was intending it to get it at the best price. That's built in. And therefore, since the money was not kona, so even if he didn't make the stipulation, we should in fact say that he gets it. So why are you forcing this into be a machlokas within the sheet of the Chachamim? It could be easily a machlokas within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and not at all according to the Chachamim. So that's what Ravina asked Rapapa. Rapapa says back to him, Amalei, no. Amor di Amar Rabbi Shimon. When did Rabbi Shimon say that Mos are Kone? That's Bechad Tara. That's when there's only one set price. Rashi brings down in the top lines of the wider lines in the Rashi, in Dibra Masel Bechad Tara. At the end of that Dibra, he says, Vechi Pasak Lav Adaita de Tara Zila Pasak. He never expected the prices to go down and that you could be able to buy with that 100, 125. So when did Rabbi Shimon say that the money is binding? That's Bechad Tara. This was the price, and he expects to get this value. So that's when money is kona. But betray Tara mi'omar, if it's a situation, kimas nisin, that you in fact have two possibilities over here, the price might go up and the price might go down, then even Rabbi Shimon would say that the money is not kona. And therefore, this can't be a machlokas within the understanding of Rabbi Shimon. It must be, as Rapapa says, it's a machlokas within the understanding of the Chachamim that Mos lo konos. And I'll show you that this is right, Rapapa says. Dilo te mahachi. If what I'm saying is not correct, then you got a real problem. According to Rabbi Shimon, Mishapara belokeach l'Rabbi Shimon lesley. Then how could there ever be a Mishapara upon the purchase, according to Rabbi Shimon? After all, you have over here, if the money is always kona and it's always binding, so then how could there ever be a Mishapara? He purchased it. That's it. End of the discussion. You can tell me, okay, that's right. Rabbi Shimon says there's no Mishapara, v'chitei mahochanami, that he says that the Mishapara never can apply to the one who buys it, the purchaser, according to Rabbi Shimon. But that's not true, because v'atani, we learn in a brisa that Rabbi Shimon said, mikol makom kachalocha. Rabbi Shimon said, this is the halacha. In fact, the Mos are konos. Avol amru chachamim mishapara v'chule. But there still is a mishapara. And when he says this, he doesn't make any distinction between the buyer and the seller. Both of them can be subject to a mishapara. The words my mikol makom. What does that imply? Lav, doesn't it imply the lo shnah lokeach lo shnah mocher? In other words, there is a mishapara according to the seller and the purchaser according to Rabbi Shimon and mekabel le mishapara. So therefore, this can't be the understanding of Rabbi Shimon that there's no Mishapara for the purchaser. Ella, Rapapa says, Ki kama Rabbi Shimon, he only said it, Bechad Tara, betray Tare lo Omer, exactly as Rapapa said. Finally, Gemara concludes and says, Omri Rav Acha b'rei de Rav or Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rav, said to Rav Ashi, why didn't Rapapa say the tape book lay, as Rashi points out, a different teretz to why there was no Misha Parah. We had said, oh, he said it doesn't Misha Parah. Why did he say it? The reason why there's no Misha Parah is because the father-in-law, in our case, Reuven, he's the one that backed out, not the son-in-law, Shimon. So the father-in-law shouldn't have a Misha Parah. He never agreed to it. It was the son-in-law that agreed to it. And the father-in-law never agreed to it. The shaliach shav yemei karah. He made him a shaliach, and the shaliach can only be doing for you good. It can't be doing for you bad. And here, the shaliach didn't do for you good. So therefore, it should have been null and void from the start without even a Misha Parah. So Gemara says, no, amalei. Rav Ashi says to Rav Acha Brei Derava, he says, no, we're dealing here b'tagra d'zovin u'mizavin. So we're dealing over here with the son-in-law. He was actually a tagar. He was a merchant himself, and he was the one that was purchasing and selling, and therefore he wasn't acting as a shaliach of the father-in-law. The case was that he went and purchased this nedunya, and therefore he is the one that backed out, and therefore you have to say it would be a Misha Parah according to Rav Papa. Okay. Let's go back to the next Mishnah. Says, Mal v'odem es arisov chitin, a person who has a sharecropper, so he's allowed to go and give him the grain, the zera, to go and plant the field, b'chitin l'zera. He can go and give him wheat to go and plant the field, mal v'odem es arisov chitin b'chitin. In other words, I'll give you chitin now at the start of the planting season, and when you plant and you're successful, you'll give me back the chitin. You're allowed to do this if the purpose of giving the chitin was lizera, for the purposes of planting. Avo lo lechol, if you're doing it for eating purposes, I'll give you a loaf of bread now. I'll give you wheat now, and you'll give me back wheat later on. For eating purposes, that's saw bisaw, and as we pointed out many times already, that is an issa d'rabbanon of ribis. And Shahi Rabbi Gamliel, malve esariso chitin mechitin. In fact, Rabbi Gamliel would go and give his sharecroppers the wheat, and they would plant it, and the grain, they would plant and get grain back, and then they would return him the chitin, because he did it lazera. He did it for them to be able to plant. And biyoker v'huzlu, and in fact, if when he gave them the wheat, the prices were higher, and when they ultimately harvested and gave him back the wheat, the prices were lower, or vice versa, bizol, when he gave him the wheat, the prices were low, and when they returned it to him, the prices were high, he would only take back that amount of wheat, no tamihen kishar hazol, he would only take back the wheat at the lower price. In other words, he would never even get into a chashash of ribis over here in the saw, even for zera. Why? Below b'nei shalachi, not because that was the halacha, as we pointed out. You're allowed to do this saw b'saw to zera, and if you're getting back more than you gave, it's permissible when you gave it lezera purposes. But Rav Shimon Gamliel, odnu choshu shayni, he went lifnei mishur sedin, el shirotza lahachim alatzmo, he went lifnei mishur sedin, odnu choshu shayni, and he didn't want anybody to even have any suspicion that he was taking ribbons, and therefore, even though he did it lezera, he didn't go and accept the higher price. He would only take the lower price for it. Okay, now, the Gemara starts off and quotes a Brisa that seems to disagree with our Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, and the Brisa says, Mal ve'odem es arisov chitim b'chitim lizera. You're allowed to do this, but the Brisa qualifies it and says, b'medzor mamur, when are you allowed to do this? Only shelo yorad, if the sharecropper, the aris, hasn't yet gone into the field to start working. But if he's gone into the field to start working, avol yorad, osur, then you're not allowed to go do this chitin for chitin, even lizera. Now, our Mishnah didn't make any such qualification. The Braisa does, so the Gemara asks the obvious question. Maishno tana didon de lo komaflig ben yorad uvein lo yorad, umaishno tana bro de komaflig ben yorad uvein lo yorad. Why did the Tana of our Mishnah not make any such distinction as to when the sharecropper went into the field or not going into the field? He didn't make any such distinction. You're allowed to do chitin b'chitin lezera, whereas the Braisa, it says, you're only allowed to do chitin b'chitin lezera if it was, he hadn't yet gone into the field, shelo yorad. But if he went into the field, then you're not allowed to do this. Why is there a difference between the Braisa and our Mishnah? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rava, Rava says, I heard this explanation, Rav Idi Aspro Niali. I heard this explanation myself. Pirish Vehivino Li, Rashi says, that Rava says that Rav Idi explained this to me in the following way. When you're dealing with the place, Vyasro, Ditano Didon, the Tana of our Mishnah, Arisa Yov Bizra, that the custom was that the Aris would be the one that would supply the Zera for the field. And therefore, it doesn't make any distinction. Bein Yorad, Uvein Lo Yorad. The Tana of Amishnah says it doesn't make any distinction whether he entered the field or he didn't enter the field already, since he's the one that's supposed to supply the seed. Kama de Lo Yov Bizra, as long as he hasn't yet put in the seed, Motzi Misalikle, the owner of the field, could say, I decided not to have you as an Aris. V'kikonoches, and therefore, when he goes down into the field and he hasn't yet put down the seed, he is basically saying, I'm willing to work for less than the usual amount because I'm going into the field without having yet the zera, but I'm starting to do the plowing to prepare it for the zera. So that's why it didn't make any difference between yorad or between lo yorad. However, be asra the tana barah, but in the Tana of the Braisa, who said it makes a difference. If it was before he went into the field, you can do this. But if it was after he went into the field, you can't do this. The custom in his place was different. Mari Ara Yor Bizra, the owner of the field, was expected to go and supply the grain to the sharecropper. And therefore, Elo Yorat, if the sharecropper hasn't yet gone down into the field, the owner of the field can still pull back. The Motzi Masalikle, he can say, listen, I changed my mind. I'm going to have somebody else be the Oris. I'll do it myself. And therefore, ki konoches, if the sharecropper goes in there and starts working, he's basically saying, I'm willing to work for less than the usual amount. And therefore, there's no problem of saw besaw in this situation. However, Iyarat, once he already started working, since he's not expected to produce the grain, he started working in that situation. The lo motzi masalik lei, the owner of the field doesn't have the right to kick him off. He already started working. Therefore, this saw besaw situation is osur. That's what Rava explains. Basically, the difference between the Mishnah and the Tanakh of the Braisa is that the deal is done or the deal is not done. Once the deal is done already, so you can't change things around. But if the deal, and then the saw concern applies. But if the deal is not done, so then you can make any deal you want. A sharecropper, maybe everybody else takes 50%, but he's willing to do it for 33%. So once the deal is done, you can't make any changes, and then you have the concern of saw basar. But if the deal's not done, so then you still can make any deals you want, and therefore the saw basar is not a concern. Okay. Then the Braisa brings down Tana Rabban, another Braisa. Omer Adam L'Chaveiro, a person says to his friend, Reuven can say to Shimon, return to Ein Heim and Aleph. A person can say to his friend, Reuven can say to Shimon, Haveni Kur Chitim, go and lend me a kor's worth of wheat, 30 saws worth of wheat. The Kotzi Soldomim, and he set a set price for this wheat. And then, Huzlo, if the wheat goes down in price, no sein lo chitim. He gives him the same amount of chitim. He only has to return him a kor's worth of chitim, even though when he got the kor's worth of chitim, it was worth $100, and now he's giving it back. It's only worth $75. Nevertheless, if huzlo, no sein lo chitim, he just gives him back a kor's worth of chitim. Hukru, but if the price of the wheat went up, then he gets a windfall. He only has to give him back. Hukru knows him to name. He just gives it back to $100, even though it's now worth $150. So he only has to give him back 2/3 of it because the wheat has gone up. Idigmor says, Valo Kotzas. But they said they arranged the price. Vikotzi slow domin. So he gave him a quart's worth of wheat. It's worth $100. Doesn't he have to get back $100? No matter what, whether the price goes up or the price goes down. This doesn't make any sense, this Braisa. So Amar Rav Sheshi says, no, it does. Hachikom, this is what the Braisa is telling us. Im lo kotzas, if they did not set the price, so then you go by what it's worth at the beginning and what it's worth at the end. Huzlu, no tail chitav. Then if the wheat became less, so all he has to do is give him back a quart's worth of wheat and he profits on it. Hukru, but if it's worth more, no sin to mayim. He has to give him the original amount only. Because if he gave him back $150, then it would be ribis. So therefore, that is what the Bryce is talking about, where he wasn't kotzitz lo domim. And in fact, if he was kotzitz lo domim, then you give him back the exact amount that you had agreed upon. With this, we conclude today's shir.